Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. A drive through any part of Southwest Florida may lead a person to believe that homes here are built without kitchens. There are so many restaurant options that it's a wonder any of them still manage to stay in business, but they do. And they do so by keeping things interesting while continuing to offer familiar fare to a seasonal population that's about to make its annual trek back down south. So before high season starts, this is the time of year that restaurants are firming up menu revisions and wine list additions. And here to talk with us about what's on trend at Southwest Florida restaurants this year is Dorothea Soné. She is the food and wine writer for Gulf Shore Life. Dorothea, thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And also joining us in studio today is local food and wine writer Gina Birch, whose wine column Gina Drinks is in the Fort Myers News Press and whose writing is featured in a number of local publications. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to see you.
We are talking about food and wine trends in Southwest Florida. What are you seeing pop up on local restaurant menus? You can become part of this conversation by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So first, Dorothea Soné, the last time we talked on this show, we were talking about the revolving door of the restaurant industry, and we talked about a number of restaurants that open and close every year. So what's new this year so far?
Yes, so we have had quite a lot of action, and believe it or not, there is breaking news in terms of the revolving door. Just this morning, I put up on our website an article mentioning how the Aielli Group, the owners of Sea Salt and Barbatella, they're opening a new restaurant called Dorona in January, and that will be replacing the former Midtown Kitchen.
Okay.
So that's going to be on 41 and Golden Gate Parkway, and it'll be a modern Italian steakhouse.
Oh, so you read it there first and just heard it here first. So
breaking
news.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. So they're moving up into North Naples. Are there any other new ones that you're excited about this year?
Yes. So, and opening up actually tomorrow, they're doing a soft opening, is the Rooster. That's taking over the old Oneida's Bakery and Cafe. And it's a collaboration between Lisa Resch of Carolina Catering Co. And her partner in Carolina Catering Co., Colleen Connolly, and Brian Sutton, who formerly just recently left Veranda E downtown to open up the Rooster. And it's going to be primarily a breakfast and lunch restaurant, and they will at times be open for dinner during season. But they're really trying to do like a southern kind of coastal vibe, you know, with upscale takes on, you know, Eggs Benedicts and different kinds of salads. It should be really interesting.
That sounds like fun. Gina, are there any new ones that you're looking forward to opening up?
Well, some of them just have opened in Lee County. I really have enjoyed going to Gather, which is at the Tarpon Point Marina. They came in. It was an old, used to be Melagrano's, and they the Italian restaurant, they brought in some beautiful tile and decor from Italy, and it didn't work, so they left a lot of it. So the folks from Gather, which they also own, used to be the joint out on in Tarpon, on Cape Harbor, which is I'm drawing a blank right now. It's now Fathoms.
Yeah.
So the two French guys are in there cooking, and they are making some amazing craft cocktails. They've spruced up the place a little bit. It's right on the water, and so that's a pretty cool place. Also, Society in the Bell Tower Shops in Fort Myers. That was a long time coming. People have been looking forward to that. Chef Todd Erickson is running the kitchen there, and he is one of the few people who actually beat Bobby Flay. He cooked a Salisbury steak, and they're doing some really creative, unique things, and they've only been open for a couple of weeks now.
Of all the things to beat Bobby Flay.
I know, right?
So, Dorothy, I often joked that a restaurant couldn't survive down here without having bacon-wrapped scallops, blue cheese on a steak, foie gras and some sort of balsamic reduction, or grouper fingers. These seem to have died down in recent years. I haven't seen a whole lot of them anymore, but what are the trends that have kind of embedded themselves in local restaurants these days?
So, yes. So the biggest thing right now that's everywhere, but it's delicious, so I'm fully for it, is shrimp and grits. And one place, a new restaurant that everyone should be excited to try, it's already open. It's been open since the summer. It's called Timeless. Their take on shrimp and grits is phenomenal. I practically licked my plate. And, you know, speaking to Lee County, .57 Kitchen and Cocktails, that's mm-hmm. one of my favorites that's opened in the past year, and they do a great shrimp and grits as well. And another food item that I've seen everywhere is burrata, and mainly as like a fresh burrata salad. You know, it's that great milky mozzarella cheese. It's just, it's incredible. Like once you cut through it, it like melts in your mouth.
It's not for the low-fat people, though.
Yeah, not for a low-fat diet at all, but...
It's basically a wad of mozzarella with kind of like half and half in there, basically. It's
so
like kind of cream. It's really decadent. And then it gets cut with the acid of the tomato, usually in a burrata salad.
Yes, and like a balsamic vinaigrette, usually. Although some places do a little bit of a different take on it, and actually, speaking of another Cape Coral restaurant, Taverna Woodfire Kitchen, they fry their burrata. It's not a salad. It's a fried dish, but it's also decadent and really delicious.
Fried, like breaded and fried?
Breaded and fried.
So I'm thinking like mozzarella sticks kind of fried?
Yeah, but it's more sophisticated. Like they've been doing some really interesting things over there. I mean, it looks like a pizza place when you walk in, but the dishes that you're presented are like works of art. It's an interesting restaurant for sure.
So what's a new thing that's out these days?
So new is octopus. I've seen octopus on a lot of menus in town, and what's been interesting is seeing how different places do it, because it's not easy to do, you know, to cook it right. And some people are getting really creative, like those Taverna people, they've done it smoked, and they serve it to you in this, like, glass terrarium. It comes out, and you're like, whoa. And another restaurant that I've found has a really interesting take is Ridgeway Bar and Grill. Tony Ridgeway, he's been here forever. I actually talked about him last time with you. And what he's done is he serves his octopus with bone marrow, so it's like extra decadent.
Yeah.
And because he has such strong baking background with Tony's Off Third right next door, he serves it with grilled bread, like grilled rustic bread, and like onion jam. It's amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like a good presentation. And that's another example of, you know, introducing something new, but then keeping the old standards, because it's a traditional place to go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
down there
absolutely.
At Tony's Off Third. So, Gina, do you see a lot of octopus going on?
You know, it's interesting. I think Marco at Osteria Celli in Fort Myers does an amazing job. He grills that octopus perfectly. And like you said, there are a lot of people who are put off by it. And I've seen people go in and say, I don't like it, but I'll eat it there. I have talked to other chefs who say, I've tried everything and I just can't move it on the menu. So it kind of goes both ways. Even though more people are being adventurous, there are some chefs who've tried it. It hasn't been economically viable because they're not moving it. So they've been replacing it.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I'm seeing a lot of around town, and I think both of you might be able to speak to this, is greater diversity in ethnic cuisines. Dorothea, what are you seeing around?
Absolutely. So right now we're in Naples. We're on the cusp of three new pretty significant restaurants that will open. Namba, it's going to be a Japanese pub from the first chef at Zen Asian Barbecue, which you know, opened a few years ago and became wildly popular. Mm-hmm. His restaurant's going to focus mainly on ramen and also have some robotic grilled items and sushi. And then we're also awaiting the opening of Kareem's Lebanese Kitchen. That will go right in next door to 21 Spices by Chef Asif. That's the progressive Indian restaurant that opened a couple years ago, which is also phenomenal. And then the final one that I'm actually very excited for as well, it's Mojo Thai-in Sushi Bar, and that's going into the Galleria Shops at Vanderbilt. And the gentleman who's opening that, he's actually the sushi chef for Thai Udon Cafe on Fifth Avenue, and he used to work for Kowloon. So just right there, like just naming in the past, minute, there are so many restaurants that, you know, have opened in the past couple years, and now a few more are joining them in Naples. which has been great.
And Gina, we were talking before the show, there are Peruvian restaurants seem to be all over the place.
Yes, there are more different sects of the Latin cuisine that I'm seeing more of. Like you said, the Peruvian and
Argentinian, yeah.
And they're really starting to specialize a little more. You know, some of the Asian restaurants will just encompass everything. They'll do Thai and Japanese and a little bit of everything. And I've seen some of them pulling back a little and trying to focus on one specific cuisine within the Asian food realm, too.
Mm-hmm. And then tacos. Even Tommy Bahama has tacos. I mean, everybody's into the tacos these days.
They're easy. They're fast. You can do so many things creatively, and you could put all types of cuisine in a nice little corn or flour tortilla and eat it by hand. It's perfect.
Could not be more convenient. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, actually, the Bevy, they have tacos on their menu, too. That's a new place that opened up in Naples, and it's got an amazing bar as well for everyone out there who likes their craft cocktails.
Yeah, I haven't gotten down there yet.
It's a really cool place.
It's on my list. And so I wanted to switch now and talk a little bit about wine because, you know, that goes with food. And we're talking a lot about restaurants, and I'm kind of going to skip ahead because I wanted to get to the question that I have about restaurants are the places that you go to kind of try new things. You're not going to try octopus at your house. Mm-hmm. And that kind of happens to be the way it is with wine as well. So people go to restaurants and they'll try a different wine than they wouldn't normally invest in a bottle. So they go to the buy the glass list. So let's talk about buy the glass lists. Gina, is there a place that is kind of a go-to place for you for finding unique items on a buy the glass list?
You know, there are a couple of places I really love. It's a little bit of a drive for some people, but the Mad Hatter at the end of Sanibel, right before you get to Captiva. Oh, she really goes out of her way, Michelle does, to try to find these really interesting wines and offer them by the glass because she wants people to try them. She wants to expose people to new things. And it's not about the cost. It's about the experience. Brian McCarley at the Other Side Bistro does the same thing. He's got some really unique by the glass selections. It's not the stuff you're going to see everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Dorothea, are there places that you like to hit when you're trying to get people to try new things?
Yes, for sure. I do love the Continental. Mm-hmm. I think they've done an amazing job of incorporating a lot of different unique, like interesting wines from many different regions throughout the world. And a place that I'm excited for that also recently opened that I think could be a new favorite of mine is The Cave. Mm-hmm. It's actually from trustees of the Naples Winter Wine Festival, and when I was interviewing them for my magazine, they mentioned to me that they really want to try to draw people out of that, I hate to say it, California cab rut. And so I think their By the Glass program will be one of the better ones in town as they get established, and already it's all up there. So I think that's exciting. And same thing with Bruce Nichols. His new place, The Wine Store, yes, it is a retail outlet, but he has a tasting bar. And Bruce has a reputation in town for being, you know, one of the most well-respected palates and really as someone who tries to seek out smaller producers and, you know, wines that you would not see every day on every restaurant's list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they don't produce enough to get it on every single restaurant's list, you know? So, Gina, before we run out of time, I wanted to get your suggestions for Christmas and New Year's wine suggestions. What do you think?
Always have to have something sparkly, something bubbly, and you don't have to break the bank. You don't have to go for the high-end champagnes. You can get some beautiful cavas that are crisp and dry and some that have a little fruit and that are much more affordable, but some of those champagnes are so yeasty and biscuity and big that you can carry those through an entire meal. You don't just have to have it for dessert or the toast or an aperitif.
Well, I saw you one time at a champagne dinner, and they did champagne all the way through with all the courses, and it really worked.
It was beautiful. So don't be afraid to do that at your house as well.
Yeah. Dorothea, do you have any suggestions when it comes to celebratory wines?
Yes, well, actually, I'm with you both on champagne. Mm-hmm. I love champagne, and I drink it all the time. It's my go-to, really.
I've seen some good deals out there on champagne. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been some price reductions on some of these champagnes that are sitting on the shelves, which is kind of nice to see.
Yeah,
it is good. And one that's not, you know, it's a decent price point. I was turned on to this one champagne by a sommelier who actually, he was at the Wine Fest, and he started Danny Meyer's restaurant MARTA, when they opened, he started their wine program, and the whole idea behind that wine was doing champagne with something as, like, everyday as pizza. And he told me about the Bresh Brut, and it retails for about, like, $50, but it goes with everything. Like, it's a really good wine, like a champagne wine that can pair well with many different types of foods.
Yeah, and then outside of wine, bubbles are everywhere. It's gone beyond San Pellegrino and Perrier. Gina, we were all three of us talking before. There are bubbles in everything, and people are really embracing that. Are you seeing restaurants do it too?
I am, and I also have seen these machines that people are selling. So you can carbonate. You could put bubbles in anything you want now at home or in the restaurant. So you can create your own sparkling beverage.
Yeah, and Dorothea, you were talking also about a couple of restaurants that are doing that. You get mineral water, have a bottle brought to your table just carbonated.
Yeah, absolutely. There have been some recent innovations in restaurant technology where restaurants are now adopting like water purification systems where they'll bring you a bottle of still or a bottle of sparkling right to your table for either no charge or like a nominal charge, like a dollar or two, and it's great. I think Austria Tulia is doing it. Zen Asian Barbecue does it. And I have to say, like, I've been noticing more sparkling wine options on drink menus, sparkling water, not just sparkling water, but they'll give you an option of, like, Perrier or Pellegrino or, a really premium one like Saint Aniol.
It's always great to have all the different options, and I love bubbles and everything. Well, we've run up against time, so we have to cut things short, even though I could continue talking about this for hours. I want to thank you both for being with us today. Gina Birch, thanks for coming in and talking with us.
My pleasure.
And Dorothea Hunter-Sone, thank you so much for adding your wisdom to our show.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
The show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone, John Davis, and yours truly. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.